This evening, Bill is going to be talking about how to reduce your fears. I think when we first started with the virus and there was the lockdown, there was uncertainty in will we still have jobs at the end of this, or the uncertainty of just managing day to day, whether you live in a community with your family. How was it possible to juggle with your family? Maybe somebody older in your family that you need to look after. Maybe it was the children. Maybe you and your husband were, or partner were living at home, working at home, teaching the children at home. My goodness, it was a lot on. For others, it was people living on their own. Now, how do you manage your time? So, all the fears of that uncertainty. Now we're coming out of lockdown right through Europe. And, it's a new set of uncertainties. How do you juggle your work? How do you make it accessible now in a new age where people have a new mentality, where people are perhaps working a little slower, but definitely working from home mostly? How do you manage all of those things and the relevance of that in your life today? How are you making that possible? So a whole pile of new uncertainties, a whole pile of new fear. And that's all added on top of the usual fears that we carry, whether it's fear of failure or fear of success. Those are just some of the things that we would have been anyway grappling with on a day-to-day basis. So Bill is zooming in. He is joining us from Madrid in Spain. Bill Bill has been meditating and exploring self-development for skills for over 25 years. He's an executive coach in Spain, facilitating leadership seminars for companies like Nestlé, Mango. Now, I don't know if I'm pronouncing the next company correctly, La Caixa.
Yes, it's a bank.
It's a bank. Okay. Movista is, I don't know.
It's a phone company.
It's a phone company. So it's, I understand it's a very large international phone company.
Yes,
So yeah, not,
international.
so yeah. So how do creating leadership where there is uncertainty is a whole new ball game, where there you can develop clarity, have a sure foot, but still be adaptable, as Bill mentioned earlier. I think one of the things that I've known Bill for a number of years now, and one of the things that I've enjoyed about working with you distantly is that you're one of the few people I know who can see the big picture and equally see the detail. But you don't do it clinically. You do it with a very warm, compassionate, caring heart. And I guess that's what makes you such a good coach, particularly for leaders. So I'm going to hand over to Bill and we will be back with the questions later. Thank you.
Good evening to everyone. I'm very glad to share today with all of you about this important topic, how to reduce our fears. But if we begin with 1 minute, just 1 minute of silence, connecting with the present moment, feeling ourselves in here and now. Just 1 minute in silence to let go as much as possible of all the other issues and stories in our minds. Many thanks for sharing with me these moments of silence. So today, I think what can be useful for us, for you, and also for me to remind myself, is sharing practical tips and ideas how to manage better our fears and overcome them, and share several practical tools to do that. But just to begin, maybe short reflection on fears as this quite important emotion that we all human beings have, and yet we know perfectly by experience that if this emotion is too strong, it becomes a very negative force that will cloud our intellect, our capacity to decide and take the right decision. You know that when there are disasters or things happen, when there are many people together, for instance, and there is a fire, no, there is a concert or something, and something happens and people fall into panic, you know that through the news that people are able to do all sorts of crazy things, and they lose the clarity of judgment at that time. So we know that under the influence of fear, we can commit many mistakes and do wrong things. And also, we know perfectly that we perform at a very low level, way below our normal capacities, our normal level of performance. One typical example would be the students. I remember my period in the at the university when I was studying electronics. I am from a technical background, in fact. Then I moved and I changed in my career to training in companies, and I learned all these aspects of leadership skills and coaching. But my origin professionally is a background of technical skills and technical knowledge. When I was at the university, I remember that you could study a lot, but then when was the moment of the exam, the paper, you could see that I was so nervous. I was so nervous that I would always fail or make some mistakes of things that I knew quite well. But because of the tension, because of the fear at that moment, I would perform way below my level of knowledge. Still, I was able to pass and finish the career. But I remember that sensation of being nervous and in tension during the exam. Another time, at that age, when I was 22 or something like that, I took my exam to drive a motorbike. And I share this because it's totally connected with the topic. I was so insecure in creating the feeling that I am going to fail, I am going to fail. This was a very practical example that when I took the exam, I failed in a few seconds. I completely blocked myself, I did the wrong thing with the motorbike, and I was out of the exam in a moment. So I created my own destiny because I visualized my failure, I created it in my mind, and I failed the exam. So I had to do it again, and next time I took the exam and the situation in a very different way. I was more relaxed, and I was thinking, well, and what happens, you can repeat it many times paying, no, but I will do my best. And then I passed the second time. So this is a practical example that for fear, everything happens inside our minds. We give energy to the wrong type of thoughts that strengthen the emotion of fear, for instance. amplify the fear. And so at some point it becomes something that controls us. We can't control anymore that emotion of fear. And I'm sure you have many experiences. So today what we are sharing is how to manage this better and how to work on it, because fears are very deep. I am not going to reflect on the psychological, because I am not a psychologist, but also there is so much information in the internet. But you have heard that many fears are connected with previous experiences that are stored in our subconscious, and then different situations stimulate those fears. So there are many reasons why we have certain type of fears. And you can see that fears are not the same for everyone. For instance, some people don't have fear regarding towards heights, no? If the person is in a building with a very high level, no? Looking down, no problem. But others have, I don't know if in English is vertigo, no? Lots of fear. You cannot look down. It's a very bad feeling of fear. So fears are different, but we know perfectly what is the taste of the emotion of fear. So what I notice is that, and we can notice all, is that fear, when it is below the level that we can control, we can do things. But if it goes beyond the level that is controllable, that we can control, then we are not able to do anything else but what the fear tells us to do. What I mean is that the fear controls us. And that's a very bad situation, because then you lose awareness, you lose clarity, and you, for some time, you become like crazy. Really, it's like this. Fear can make you crazy. So this is not a good thing. And we have to learn how to strengthen ourselves and to develop inner resources to manage better, to not only reduce our fears, but strengthen the let's say, the capacities or the attitudes that helps us to confront those fears successfully. But one thing that happens with fear also is, apart from the confusion and the lack of clarity, is that we lose access to many resources that we have inside. For instance, we lose completely our normal level of creativity. I want to share with all of you a nice example that I was remembering today. There was a person in Brahma Kumaris. His name was Jagdish Chander from India, and he was one of the main lecturers, but he was a great yogi, a great meditator. So he had a very good stage of mind. So he passed away in 2001. But the story is very interesting, that he went to New York to a big conference of the United Nations, and he took some small street just as a shortcut to reach the place. And when he was walking through the small street, a gang of robbers went to him, no? And they told him, give us all the money, all the things of value that you have. Huh? And so he stayed smiling, and he said, okay. He said, he showed the things he had, and he said, really, in fact, he had a little bit of money, but I have nothing of value, really. I don't have money with myself, but I can share with you, because he was very in a very good stage of mind. I can share with you, I can offer you something that I know. And I know Indian dance. And the others were a little bit struck, no? These robbers, they were a bit amazed. And so he started to dance slowly and showing them, you can dance like this. This is what I can share with you, because this is what I have of value for you. And he started to dance in front of them. And the others were, these robbers were like hypnotized, no? They were in a state of shock, but in a shock that they would never expect this, no? And so while he was dancing, he went slowly, slowly away, 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 and then he left. He always explains this story. And it's really, but this story, although it seems like a movie, but it is real. It is a story that is real. It means that using your creativity, in challenging situations like this, gives you access to ideas that you would never have under fear. So fear, of course, blocks completely all this inner capacity we have to create different responses. So what can we do with our fears? Because the fears are there. And we have heard, and I'm sure you have listened many things about the coronavirus, how together with the virus of the coronavirus, we have had the virus of fear, so much fear in the atmosphere. And you can find many videos and lots of information in the internet that they explain how fear affects your immune system, and in fact makes you weaker. And the weaker is your immune system, the easier is for the virus to affect you, and the stronger is your immune system, the less likely the virus will affect you. So it means the more we are free from fear, the more we are fearless, more secure we are. And we will not be affected by the virus. So this means that we have to pay attention to these inner attitudes that help our immune system, for instance. So I'm going to share with you a few ideas that we have to keep in mind. Some things we have to keep in mind, some other things we need to practice. One idea is that let's talk now let's talk now about solutions, ideas, proposals, tools, practices. What can we do in our life to strengthen our capacity to manage fears and respond in a better way? So several things to keep in mind and to pay attention. One is that this is for every emotion, and especially for the negative emotions. And we can consider that fear is a negative emotion when it is so strong. Because if it is just a little bit of fear, and that helps you to be more alert and to pay attention to something, that can be even useful for situations of survival or whatever. But if it is a fear that overpowers you, it is really very negative for you to have so much fear. So the first thing we need to always remind us is that every negative emotion is not me. This is something very simple, but sometimes we forget. Sometimes if we have fear, it seems as if I am that. It seems as if that's the only way to live that situation. And we need to remind ourselves and to understand that the emotion is something that is happening to us, but it's not what I am. It's something what is happening to me. But I can separate and distance myself from that with practice and accept that. We shouldn't feel bad because I am fear. I am having fear at that moment. We shouldn't feel that this is wrong or I should not have fear. No, main point to begin with is I have to accept that there is a fear. I accept it, I don't fight with it, but I begin the process that we need to work of avoid identifying myself with the fear. Okay, this is happening inside of me, but what do I need to do? I watch, I observe this energy of fear. And then we need to learn this art of controlling or guiding our attention to a better place or to a better train of thoughts. Because the point is that the more we focus our attention on anything, the more energy we give to that. And when we give energy to something, that something becomes very big, grows. You have heard this phrase probably, no? Where your attention goes, energy flows, and where energy flows, life grows. So this is something that is useful for many aspects of our personal development. How do we begin this process of learning how to master our attention, our inner attention, and give energy to the right things? What would be the right things? Okay, so I am having fear about something. You could think now what situation can be. For instance, if we take the coronavirus, some people I know, at least this is happening in Spain and probably in UK and everywhere. Some people maybe a bit older, some of them, they have the fear now that even though they can go out, they can go to the street. They have the fear that then what if something happens to me? What if I get infected? So because of the fear, they keep themselves in the lockdown, self-lockdown. No? So this attitude prevents them from doing many things that they like, many things that they can enjoy in life. And so probably they give too much energy and too much attention to the thought of what if I come out and I become infected. They give too much energy to this thought. So we need to change the thought. And at that time, because I am the observer and I'm watching that process, what thought do I want to strengthen or I want to give more energy to? So for instance, okay, I will take all the precautions. I will be very attentive to all the things that I need to pay attention. And I can go out and be very, very careful, very attentive, very alert, and nothing has to happen. Because one thing is to be cautious. To be cautious is a very important and it's a positive attitude to be cautious because we know there is a virus there, but I don't need to be afraid. If I know that I can do things to protect myself from that. And so I give energy to that thought. And then what happens? That as in the topic, if you have read the topic, it says fear can mean two things. Forget everything and run, or stay at home. This is one explanation of fear. And the other is face everything and rise, because you gain confidence, more self-confidence. So most probably, you go out with taking all the precautions and nothing will happen to you. Nothing will happen. So you go back home, you take all the precautions while reaching your home, and then you realize that it is possible to come out. Then your fear, because of your own experience, loses strength. Otherwise, you give too much energy to that thought. So where is my attention, and where is the focus of my attention? At what am I giving energy? So that I need to be very aware of that. The other thing that it's important, it would be to to practice, I would say, reprogramming our way to respond. In a sense that, as the topic that I said before, face everything and rise, and this has been is like the example I shared with you now of the coronavirus, because the fear tells you to react in a certain way. So, okay, I don't come out. I will stay at home all the time, all my life. So this is the instruction of the fear. But reprogramming yourself means, okay, this is the instruction of the fear, but what is my instruction? What I think, you need to reflect a little bit on this and see what is sensible and also important for me to do. I cannot stay all my life at home without going outside. I can stay, but is this the life I want for me? And then find a more proper response and do it. So reprogram yourself means that all the fears and all the emotions in general have attached some, let's say, mechanic or automatic response that we call that also a reaction, because these strong emotions makes us very reactive. But what if I step aside, I watch, I observe that emotion, and I think for myself, okay, what is a better way of responding to this situation? That I feel more connected from my inner self. I need to take some time, maybe some meditation to, if it is something strong or some strong fear, I need to give some thought to this and then do that, because I'm reprogramming myself, and also I take the power, or I make that reaction powerless. That's another thing that is important. And also, as I was saying before, reprogramming your way of thinking. Taking the exam, the example of the exam I said before, for instance, you know this concept that people use of the self-prophecy, no? That if you create a thought of fear about something, that's the basis of worries. What if this happened? What if this happened? What if this happened? As I was sharing before, you create the conditions so that finally, it becomes like a prophecy. It happens like that. and then you say to the others, you see, I told you that this would happen to me. But you don't realize that, in fact, you have created the conditions so that disaster happens for you. So reprogramming your thoughts means what other explanation can I give to my mind about this situation, and give, as I said before, attention and energy to that. And what I noticed, it was very useful in the exams or any situation like this, was to think, okay, I'm going to be relaxed and I'm going to do the best I can. This doesn't mean that I will pass. I'm not just saying just like this magical thinking of I will pass. No, because I don't know really if I will pass. But what I know is one thing, is that if I give my best, I do whatever I can, this will be the best result for me. And normally, I will pass because I have studied. So I will do my best, I will see. And also, sometimes you need to think, okay, and if I fail, it's not the end of the world. Sometimes we have to remove the heaviness of things that we see as if they are the end of our life. It's just like there is so much fear for some people of losing their jobs, losing their position. But if they would practice this type of thinking, they would realize that the role, the job is very important, and we need the money, we need the economy. But if at some point it happens, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. There are many things still you can do. And many times we have seen that you lose one job and later you find something better, or you realize exactly what you want to do. And once after the crisis and the person has found a new place or has oriented the career in a different direction, that person realizes how good was that I lost that job. It was a blessing, disguised. But in the moment, sometimes we just feel the fear, what I'm going to do, what will happen to me, etc. So this reprogramming is fundamental. Another tip, which is very like a practice, it's like a practice, is fears reduce very much if I practice a little bit more of, you have heard this, mindfulness. If I practice more being in the moment. Being in the moment, if I notice that something is creating fear in myself, just stay with what you need to do now. Stay with the moment. Don't project, don't give energy to thoughts that project you towards the future or towards a catastrophe. Just stay in the here and now. This reduces a lot the density of the fear, because in the here and now, you will see that there is something you need to do. That is, so focus on that. Use this mindfulness approach to really avoid giving energy to anything else, anything from the future, anything from the past. I'm not going to give energy. I just stay with the present. And if I am drinking, because I need now a little bit of water, that's all I need to do, to enjoy the sensation of the water. Thanks. So this is another aspect. And finally, because I would like you, I would like to share with you some minutes of meditation. Finally, the perspective of the Raja Yoga meditation that we practice here, which is meditation that has some spiritual concepts. This is very powerful to see ourselves in a different way and to begin to open ourselves to the idea that we have, let's say, inner resources, inner qualities. We think in Raja Yoga meditation that we are spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings, which means that we are conscious beings that have inner qualities like peace, love, silence, and that these qualities really are the basis for a quality life. So in Raja Yoga meditation, what we want is to connect with these qualities, connect with these inner spiritual qualities, and strengthen them, strengthen our experience of these qualities. So then what happens is that you will see that it's not possible, certain qualities cannot coexist with fear. For instance, you cannot be totally peaceful and at the same time fearful. Yes, sometimes you can be quite relaxed, but there is a little bit of fear. Okay, some mixtures happen, but what you will see very clearly is that peace is opposite to fear. Also, love is opposite to fear. So it is very clear for me that, in fact, it is not about fighting against fear, or not. It's not about trying to cut or eliminate fear, but it is more about strengthening the powerful qualities that overpower fear, that finish my fear. And this has been my experience during these 34 years of practice, that the more I strengthen, for instance, my inner power of peace, fears become less powerful. Let's say that this inner peace is strengthened, and at the same time, fears are weakened. So I found this is a very useful approach to focus on what you want to have, not what you don't want to have, because sometimes we are fighting with our emotions, and the result is very bad. The result is not useful at all. So this is what I wanted to say to finish, is that we need to strengthen these qualities, especially with the practice of meditation. Meditation is the tool, the practice, that allows us to go within and to really connect with those qualities and experience them, strengthen them, and slowly, slowly, they grow and they become more and more present in our life, so that we really become a more and more peaceful person every time. Of course, we need practice, and we need to be regular, constant in our practice, because we have developed many weaknesses. So we need to give space and time, I would say, every day for this. So what I was thinking is that we can share now a few minutes of meditation. I'm going to put a little bit of music. And you just follow this guided meditation. And the only thing you need to do is to listen and try to be as much as possible connected with the exercise, managing your distractions. If you see that your thoughts drift away, you just notice that and come back to the exercise. And slowly, slowly, you will see that it's not that difficult to slowly, slowly begin to feel, begin to connect with those qualities. I will put a little bit of music. So to begin with, let's take a deep breath. Let's take a deep breath. And let's become present, connected with here and now. Let's pause and give ourselves these moments to enjoy being present, let's become aware of here and now. And let's become connected with our breathing. And you can allow your breathing to become natural. You don't need to relax it, just allow your breathing to find its own rhythm, natural rhythm. And slowly, slowly become aware how internally you are observing the present. You are observing the here and now. You are observing the present moment. And so you can connect with the experience that you are the observer, the inner observer. This awareness of being the observer helps you to become aware of everything in the present moment. The different sensations, external sensations, the sounds, whatever physical sensation, and also the inner sensations and the inner feelings you are having right now, your inner thoughts. So you become aware now of your inner space. So now I invite you to focus on the thought that peace, calm, is your true nature, your true essence. Is peace. You are a being of peace. And peace is your natural state of mind. Give yourself space to experiment with this. You can repeat it slowly for yourself. My essence is peace. My real nature is peace. I am a peaceful being. And as you repeat these thoughts, allow yourself to feel that. Allow yourself to experience this. It's not just a thought, but it carries a feeling of peace, feeling of calm. And at the same time, if you notice any other thought of the external world, any other thought of situations, of whatever, you can manage those thoughts just observing them and let them go. Don't give them energy. Stay with the thought of peace. Where there is peace, there's no fear. Peace gives you stability. Peace gives you strength. In fact, peace is also a power, the power of peace. May you develop constantly this power of peace. So slowly, slowly, I invite you to come back from this exercise. You can notice a little bit the feet, you can move a little bit the feet, the hands, you can move the shoulders, you can move your neck a little bit. Just coming back to the activity, to movement, and we can finish this exercise here. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Okay. So this is the question and answer section. So please do send through your questions on the question and answer link or button. So, Bill, we're going to start with this question first. These days, lots of people seem to strongly identify with their opinions. And there is a real fear of being proven wrong. In a world with such strong and different opinions, it's difficult. Do you have any advice on how not to identify with our opinions?
Very good question. Well, it would be for me, the, as I said before, no? For fear, we need to strengthen peace. We need to strengthen love. So find the opposite. So for strong identification, I need to practice a very spiritual and sometimes misunderstood quality, that is detachment. Detachment. And you know, one of the most difficult detachments is detachment of my own ideas, because we are so attached to our ideas. So reprogram yourself, tell yourself, okay, I think this this idea is the best one, I think this is how things should be, but I still can learn from each other's ideas, I can listen, and maybe we can find even some common aspects. So let me be open, let me be more flexible, let me be more able to listen and to find what is positive in other ideas. You see, these type of thoughts, you need to practice this for yourself, right? For yourself, and then when the situation comes and when there is that situation where you normally would argue with someone, you will change your attitude because you are reprogramming yourself. This is my advice.
Okay, next question. How do we negotiate with people who act in anger to a situation if it becomes fearful?
How do we negotiate?
With people who are being angry and creating a fearful situation?
Well, there are things of common sense. If sometimes we see that people are too angry and you can see that there is danger in that situation, I would not try to be the hero there, in a sense that it is better keep yourself safe and move away from that person. I mean, we have to be sensible because our life is very precious, very valuable. But in situations that maybe there is not so much of a physical danger, again, I think it's simple in a sense that we need to imbibe the power of peace. And the power of peace, really, when it becomes powerful, of course, we need to develop that. This doesn't happen overnight. But when the power of peace becomes more and more powerful in ourselves, more present, we can really have the experience that we can influence others. How? Just by speaking to them in a tone of, with a tone of voice, with a body language of peace, with our peaceful attitude. They are angry to begin with, but they are receiving the vibrations of your peace. And if you stay there, you stay calm, you share with them that energy of peace, they begin to cool down. I would invite you to experiment with this. Experiment with this. Meditate, keep your stage of meditation, and see how that peacefulness that you have is influencing others. You will notice. Of course, this doesn't last all the time. Then you need to meditate again because there is the law of entropy and we lose that level of energy. But we can recover it. So try this.
Thank you. How can we take a step back when we are surrounded by negativity? For instance, the news we've been having for the past few months is very negative and generates fear and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you take a step back from all the atmosphere around you?
So what I get is, what I understand is, how do you help yourself not to be so influenced, no?
Correct,
By all this news. And I mean, it depends on each one. For instance, the news. I like to be informed. I want to read some news every day because I think it is important to see how things are going on although there are, as they say, there are so many sometimes fake news or things that are distorted, but you have to watch everything detached. But I think that this is connected with the point I shared in before of what do you want to give energy? So if you are too affected by these things, I think you should keep it at a minimum level, no? Reading news and all of these things, just whatever is necessary, but the less you can. And spend more time in you can do that, for instance, what I am suggesting, spend more time with yourself, meditation, reading positive things. What we need to do at a spiritual level is to have the rituals and practices that gives us energy, that strengthen ourselves. And whatever we are not able to face still, we have to try to avoid that as much as possible by now. What I mean is those things that affect us so much, let's try to avoid that for the present moment, and strengthen ourselves first. And then slowly, slowly, you will see that you get the courage, you get the confidence to face those things. But first, take care of yourself. Give yourself time. It's not just meditating, reading quality things for your personal growth, having good company. What I mean is persons with whom you can share these things, persons that empower you and you empower them. You know that it is a positive relationship. So we need to spend more time with all of this.
Okay. The next question. If you have parents that were fearful and you've been brought up in fear, how do you undo that and become fearless?
Again, we need a lot of power for the mind, power of peace, power of silence. I would encourage a lot to meditate and to absorb and experience that inner stage of peace. And also the other point is it was reprogramming. Okay, I have absorbed all of these fears from my family, but visualize, create a visualization of how do you want to be. It doesn't mean that because you visualize it, it will happen. But visualization will help you to keep an image of how do I want to be? What do I want to become? And something that inspires you. And then move slowly but with determination towards that aim. Of course, I understand that there is a lot of influence of the past history. But I notice that if we, as I said, determination, no? If we have the determination that I want to get rid of these past influences, maybe that person thinks, I love very much my parents, but I don't want to be like them. And I don't want to be, I don't want to have that mentality. So it is possible to get rid of that. But as I think Arti has said, patience and determination. I think these two qualities are very important.
Thank you. Next question. How would one disable unhelpful physical sensations that come from certain situations, such as being under stress or having too much to do? In the past, these situations helped one thrive and you were able to handle it, but at the moment, not able to. So how do you disengage from that?
I don't know if I... Can you repeat the first part?
Yeah. How would one disable unhelpful physical sensations that appear in certain situations, such as being under stress or having a lot to do? In the past, there was a feeling you could thrive under the stress, but now now it's creating difficulties.
I think this is because our spiritual immune system is weaker now. We have lost that inner capacity. So the solution is the same. We need time for ourselves, quality time with ourselves. It works. It really strengthens us. We need to reinforce our strength, because stress, in my experience, is a result of our perception. And if our perception is that I am weak, I can't manage this, this is too much for me. It is not that I think this, but this is behind in our subconscious, maybe. I'm not able to. So we become more and more stressed. And if we begin to be more confident and we have a better vision, more positive vision of ourselves, we will see that we feel that we are more able to manage. And this is why in the question it says, before I used to use it to thrive, to take the challenge, but I have lost that capacity. So take a lot of care of myself, taking a lot of care of myself, giving myself quality time, and have this aim of become more powerful inside, become more strong, develop these inner powers that all of us, the important thing is all of us have these inner powers, but we need to meditate, we need to spend time with this.
Okay. The next question is some actually asking you to repeat something you said. You talked about a phrase, where energy grows, .. where energy goes, or where your mind goes, energy grows. Would you want to repeat that phrase?
It's a very nice, it is very useful also. I'm sure you can think a lot about this. Where your attention goes, energy flows. And where energy flows, life grows. And life grows means especially that you amplify that, you give energy, you give strength to that. So that becomes big. For instance, an instance is that if your attention goes to a thought of worry, you have a worry. And your attention goes again and again to this thought of worry. You are giving energy to this worry. And after some time, it seems that this worry is something very big. And it seems you can't do anything about it because it's so terrible. What is going to happen? What can happen to me? What will happen to me? Whatever thought was, you have given so much attention and energy that now you can't do anything. You can't do anything. You have to suffer it. So we have to be very careful. Where is our attention going and giving energy to?
Thank you. And then I think this might be the final question. How do we stop being fearful of people's opinion and being judged?
This is important also. People's opinions. And they affect us so much, many times. No? I think this is connected with self-respect, self-esteem, having a better vision of yourself. And again, we go back again to the same. I need to really give myself quality time because you see that what is most needed, I think what everyone, to sum up, we could say that what everyone now needs more and more and more is spiritual strength. We need to put this as a priority. We have had many different priorities in our lives. Maybe at some point the priority was the economy, was whatever, anything, whatever it was. But right now, to face so many changes and so many challenges, And I'm sure you know that challenges haven't finished. Many more things are going to happen and we are going to see. But the key, this is my experience, if you have inner strength, inner power, inner resources, you can face, you can manage through all of that. This is what in Brahmakumaris I have learned, and this is the core essence of our teachings, that our spiritual power and our spiritual being is the key to be successful in all these situations. So the more you have self-respect and positive vision towards yourself, the less you give so much importance to the opinions of others, because you can respect the opinion. Okay, they think like this. I take the information and see if I can improve something, but I don't define myself on the basis of those opinions, you know? And the priority, taking care of yourself.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you very, very much. We've come to the end of our evening tonight. So there have been many, many people who've dropped in the chat saying thank you very much for the talk. They've enjoyed it. It was powerful and insightful. So there's lots of thank yous coming through. I'm going to thank you on behalf of Inner Space for taking the time.
Thank you for the invitation.
It was our pleasure to have you, for sure.